This episode of Reed's Ranch is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. If you're on Twitter, you've seen the buzz. If you're not on Twitter, let me tell you, Home Field Apparel digs through the archives and history of your school to find unique logos, mascots, and moments to make thoughtful designs for your school. And the shirts, very comfortable. 15 pieces of apparel, t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks. Shout out to them. They sent me the hoodie. It's soft. It fits perfect. The shirts, I think everyone's favorite so far has been the Vol Navy shirt. Nice. My smoky shirt I had on today was beautiful. And they're offering you, the Ranch Gang, 15% off your first purchase with Home Field Apparel. Just use the promo code GOVALS at checkout. Again, the promo code is easy to remember. It's GOVALS, one word. And you get 15% off your first purchase when you buy online at homefieldapparel.com. We appreciate them for supporting us. You love us. You most likely at least like the Vols. Maybe you hate them right now, but the basketball schedule did get released. You can buy some basketball gear, a shirt for basketball. If you're mad at football, don't take it out on basketball and baseball, and help us out. Again, use the promo code GOVALS for 15% off at homefieldapparel.com.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Wednesday, July 28th. Seth, we're already at the end of July. Seth's down in Alabama. Is it as hot in Alabama as it is in Tennessee?
It is miserably, miserably hot. It is brutal. I feel like this week is the week that it has really cranked up.
It is officially summer.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was like the weather was just playing with us until this week. It feels like 102 degrees right now, so yeah, it's pretty hot.
All of a sudden, Tennessee starts getting some forecasts, some rival casts to get Walter Nolan. The chili gets really hot, and so does the damn temperature, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get him or not, obviously. It feels to me like Tennessee is going to get him because, like, that, it just feels that way, like he's moved to Powell or whatever. And I assume, you know, I mean, he's moved to Powell. We have Rodney Garner, the most notorious defensive line coach on the recruiting trail in the SEC of my lifetime, going after him. It feels like we're going to get him. And that's the best news of the Josh Heupel era, not just because it's five-star at a big-time position of need, but because Josh Heupel undoubtedly has had to cheat his ass off to get Walter Nolan, I imagine. Maybe not with the whole NIL thing now, and now you don't have to just proactively cheat. You can just say, look, if you're going to stay with the in-state team, the NIL stuff you get is going to be massive. So maybe not.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How much has that changed, do you think? Like, do you think people are still getting their bags now as high school seniors, or do you think it's like, hey, we're going to make sure you're taken care of whenever you get here? Because I don't know if you saw the news about the Ewers, whoever the hell the number one quarterback is at Ohio State. Like, the guy that's committed from Texas, he's thinking about, like, skipping his senior year of high school just to go ahead and enroll in Ohio State because then he could go ahead and get all of his money. Like, he's already got deals lined up, apparently, worth nearly, you know, seven figures.
Yeah. So, you know, it just feels Walter Nolan's recruitment just feels dirty to me. Like, it might not be at all. Like, it might not be at all. I haven't really paid much attention to him because I didn't think we had any chance. I mean, we were talking about it, what, two podcasts ago? We were like, you know, we at least got a spot in the top five out of Pitty or whatever, and now it seems like we're going to get him. It just feels very dirty to me. I mean, he was coached by Marlon Wallace. He's recruited by Rodney Garner. And now all of a sudden he's moved to Knoxville. So it just feels like a very dirty recruitment to me, which is a great thing for Tennessee and a good sign for Josh Heupel. If they do end up getting him, maybe he can convince some other guys to come with him to UT.
Yeah, usually I wouldn't get too excited about a recruit, especially, you know, one that's going to almost assuredly go down to signing day, right? I mean, usually these top five, top ten guys all do their signing day ceremony, right, with the hat and go up there and get on TV, especially in today's age when you can do it on Instagram and build your following. I got to imagine, like, the signing day hype is going to be worth it. So usually I wouldn't get too excited until pen to paper for the, you know, for the letter of intent. But I do feel like Josh Heupel needs some recruiting momentum. I do feel like just this big name, even entertaining coming to Tennessee, is a pretty big deal for Josh Heupel with both the fan base and I would imagine other recruits as well.
It seems like it would help recruiting a lot. It really does seem like it would help recruiting a lot. I mean, it's not like getting a top flight quarterback or whatever, but still, it's the number one player in the nation, arguably. A consensus number one defensive lineman, right? I mean, I don't think anybody argues about him being the number one defensive lineman. He's the number three overall player on 24/7. The last time we got a five-star defensive tackle out of high school would be Khalil McKenzie, I guess. He is the...
The bar is low, Walter Nolan. The bar is low. Not going to be a lot of pressure as a five-star defensive tackle here at Tennessee. Bro, just make a couple plays.
He is the number two overall defensive tackle on Rivals behind a guy from North Carolina named Travis Shaw. So, you know, I mean, who I guess is going to Clemson, North Carolina. So it'll be the best defensive tackle that anybody in the SEC signs at a position, a unit where we have really nobody of note at defense besides the Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, he can immediately come in and be, you know, a starter, obviously, which I don't know if he would do that at Alabama or Clemson or wherever, Georgia, but definitely at Tennessee.
Yeah, Walter Nolan will be starting as soon as he gets off out of the car and moves his bags into the dorm. So that will be nice. And it'll be big for Josh Heupel. It should be good for recruiting. When is he going to commit? Has he set a date to commit?
I figure it's just one that's going to go down to signing day regardless. So I don't think Tennessee can really do anything to lock him up over the next 2 months. I do think they can do something to blow it and lose it. Like, if this product is just absolutely shitty, then I think you could, like, sour. You know, he would sour on us and look elsewhere. But I think as long as Tennessee's competitive, they'll have a shot all the way down to signing day. So it's good news. It's not, like, a huge win, but it is something that, you know, a lot of people are feeling like Tennessee has a good chance. And again, when you get this big NIL money attached to it at Tennessee, it does seem like being an in-state guy, especially when it's going to be 20 minutes away from campus playing high school football and, like, maybe being a big, you know, star. Because obviously, you know, who's the biggest local football star, like, in high school? I know you're not from Knoxville, so I'm kind of just asking the Discord that's listening live, like, I mean, Randall Cobb was a big guy, but, like, in Harrison Smith, but I don't know if they were, like, top 10, top 20 players. I don't feel like
Brandon Warren. Brandon Warren. I mean, he was a five-star from Alcoa.
Okay. He was one that went to Florida State, right, and then transferred back?
Then transferred back and ended up at UNA. Like, yeah, he was the number one overall tight end in the nation, number 18 overall player. He was a big-time guy. T. Higgins.
Okay. Cade Mays as well. So there are some guys that would be in the top 15, top 20, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Warren was a massive, massive recruit. And it was, like, crushing when he went to Florida State. But, so, yeah. I mean, there's been some. It's not like, you know.
No top five guys, but there is some good talent here, I guess, when you start listing off a couple, especially in the last couple of years with Mays and Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the money on the front end of the NIL staying at the in-state school would be so much higher for a guy like him than it would be going anywhere else. Like, you're just another cog in the machine at Alabama, at Clemson, et cetera. I think the only position that's kind of different is quarterback. like with the Ewers guy, but I would think on the front end, staying at the in-state school would allow you to make more money, especially at a place that loves football but has been really, really bad at it for a long time now.
Boomer in the Discord, you know, said today that it looks like Pals is set to announce a deal with John Fulkerson soon. If that does come to fruition in the next couple of days, please give the Reed's Ranch podcast credit. If it does not come to fruition, please blame Boomer from the Discord. Don't blame us. Only give us the credit if it's right. None of the blame if it's wrong. But that's just what's been talked about. So, I mean, like, there is value, obviously, like East Tennessee kid. Good team.
Yes.
Money coming in. Things like that. That's kind of the point. Caden May seems to be doing pretty good with the he seems to be doing the best of anybody on the team right now, too, with endorsements as well.
Yeah, I would say there's some value to staying local, getting in local. So hopefully we get them. It would be great for Heupel. I mean, I think, like, it would exceed my expectations of recruiting for him to get Walter Nolan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It wouldn't really cause me to recalibrate any of my expectations, but it would be quite a shocker if they were to get them. So hopefully they do. So good for Heupel. Good for Brother Walter moving to Knoxville.
I guess right when we went on the air or started recording last week is whenever the Texas-Oklahoma stuff first popped up. Looks like it is officially going to happen. I mean, I guess officially it would be tomorrow after they vote, but it's going to happen. Your thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC?
Well, like I don't like it very much at all, but I think my biggest thought and my biggest like shock of the entire thing is how little resistance there was from anyone. Like, I would have guessed that Arkansas would have been an absolute no. I would have guessed that LSU would have been an absolute no. Obviously, A&M was. I would have guessed Missouri would have been an absolute hardline no. And I would have thought that A&M could have convinced teams like Florida and Georgia, who have been so dead set against other in-state schools joining the SEC for decades, I would have thought they could have made a case to them to vote no. But instead, there was one no, and it was A&M. And by the end of it, by last week, A&M had been totally and completely cupped. I mean, they had been totally gelded. Like, Ross Bork had become a eunuch by the time the SEC got done with him. And he was saying things about how they are ready to face whoever is in the SEC, and they look forward to it, and you know, they look forward to the challenge. And it was a total 180 from where they were going to have a Board of Regents meeting to discuss their future and their plans. And it was like, okay, you're free to leave the SEC if you want, A&M. Good luck. They went from, you know, heeing and hawing and being all mad, being furious, to being, okay, this we accept it. We're ready to play whoever. I mean, just totally cupped.
You can go back to the Big 12 if you want, Texas A&M and Missouri.
I mean, an absolute cucking. Like, just, In the span of a week, Ross Bork went from being, I mean, he issued a statement the day it came out when Jimbo's at SEC Media Days, and really it was quite embarrassing of a statement, I thought. And I don't really like how emotional he gets for a man in power, but he released a statement talking about how they were dead set on being the only Texas team in the SEC. And they were going to fight it, you know, tooth, claw, and nail with everything they had, to being just totally cupped and being like, okay, that's cool, whatever. But I hate it. I hate it. Like, I don't want two more good teams in the SEC. I don't want this four-team pod of Tennessee, Vandy, Auburn, and Alabama. Like, I don't want it. Like, if it was up to me, I would kick out A&M and Missouri and just have the 12 that it was my whole life. Like, that's how I would have it. If it were up to me, you could only play one non-conference game a year at most, and it would have to be a home and away, and everything else would be conference games. Like, I hate it. I think it's not the SEC. It's not going to have, like, it's just, but I mean, money always wins. So what can you do?
Just as we're recording now, the Big 12 has sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN. The letter demands ESPN end, quote, all actions that may harm the conference and its members, and that it not communicate with the Big 12 conference's existing members or any NCAA conference regarding the Big 12 conference members, possible conference realignment, or potential financial incentive or outcomes related to possible conference realignment. So basically, the Big 12 is coming out and basically saying ESPN has orchestrated this whole thing, which is probably accurate. ESPN sees, you know, the SEC. They just signed the big deal, $3 billion with the SEC. They put in the agreement that, hey, if you get any of these A-list teams, we will give them the same cut that we are promising you. We will up our contract by that number. You know, the per team average, we'll go ahead and tack that on. Go out and get as many people as you want. We're with you. We're in lockstep. And, you know, many people think that Texas and Oklahoma was interested in the SEC because of ESPN. Even to the point where they're talking about helping Oklahoma and Texas pay the buyout. Like, you know, basically, well, you know, giving them their money up front for the Big 12 or the Longhorn Network, excuse me, that's still owed to pay for both those schools to get out early.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it. Like, there's the tradition aspect, the pageantry. It's just going to be totally gone away very soon. I think that they'll probably, this is probably just like the first big step towards getting rid of the NCAA. I mean, what the SEC is going to have, the SEC is going to make as much money as the NCAA makes now, right? I mean, I think I saw that. Like, the SEC is going to make as much money as the NCAA. Like, you know, there's going to be teams joining the Big Ten. You know, there's just going to be four conferences at the end of the day. Probably not even going to have an NCAA. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But money wins. I just am surprised at the end of the day that not any of those really far west teams in the SEC said no. Like, I just am blown away that Arkansas is cool with it.
I mean, what's Arkansas going to do? I mean, just vote no and cost everybody money? Like, it seemed like money wins out, like you said you knew. Like, I mean,
yeah, I guess it, you know, it's school presidents voting, right?
I believe so, yes.
So it's not athletic directors. So that, to me, like, seals the deal. I think if you had athletic directors voting, then you might have had a bit of a different story. I mean, like, LSU was able to go into the state of Texas and get five-star recruits. You know, they still might be able to now. It's LSU. It sells itself. But it's going to be harder, you know. I mean, it's going to be harder. Like,
do we think this actually improves Texas recruiting drastically? Maybe Oklahoma's, but what about Texas's?
I don't think it improves Texas's recruiting, no.
Okay, so then why would it be harder to go into Texas to get guys if you're LSU?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see what you're saying.
I mean, it's not like Texas and Oklahoma already weren't, like, recruiting at a high level is what I'm getting at. Like, I mean, yeah. It seems like you're already kind of recruiting against them anyways. Like, I guess, like, A&M might be fucked a little bit if, like, their only appeal was, like, hey, if you want to play in the SEC, kid from Texas, kid from Oklahoma, like, we're your only shot. Like, they might get screwed a little bit, but, like, Alabama.
Oh, Alabama doesn't care.
LSU, I mean, Georgia, Florida, hopefully, like, you know, Tennessee, if they're ever good again. Like, you're it's not going to be that big of a difference, I don't think. Now, on the field, obviously, it's two tougher games. It's two tougher opponents, although I'm sure we'll play Texas and Oklahoma once every 4 years or so, most likely.
I am surprised. Like, all you had to have was you had to – 11 people had to say yes, and you had one no. I am surprised they weren't able to get another no. Like – because when it first came out, it was Missouri and A&M are hardline no's. And then that lasted like a day. And then Missouri, it was like, okay, Missouri doesn't care.
Missouri's AD resigned, though. Do we know if Missouri's AD resigned over this? Do we ever see what came out about him resigning and the reason he gave?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that, like, it's going to make Texas, like, have, like, better recruiting class than they already have. But I would say there's probably, like, some SEC, there's probably some guys in Texas that are really highly rated that wanted to play in the SEC. And so they went to LSU. And now they don't have to go to LSU. They can go, you know, to Texas or Oklahoma. And, like, but I don't think it means, like, Texas is going to have higher rated classes than what they already get, is what I'm saying. I mean, okay. Texas right now needs to worry about its back door, as that quarterback is from Austin and he's going to Ohio State. Like, I mean, I think it's ludicrous that, you know, I mean, Texas is what, 7-11 in the last 9 years against West Virginia and TCU since they came into the Big 12. Like, I think Texas is probably in for a rude awakening on the field. And I don't think it helps Oklahoma that much at all, because Lincoln Riley had to coach one game a year and he was going to get into the national, into the playoff.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's going to have to coach a lot more, and they're going to have a lot better defense, and they're going to have a lot deeper team. And there's not much talent in Oklahoma to begin with compared to Louisiana or Texas.
It does seem like a negative for both of those teams actually on the field. Now,
yeah, it does.
Money-wise, matchup-wise, exposure, all of that, probably a big improvement. But on the field, like, their wins aren't going to go up by any means. You know what I mean? Like, it's not gotten easier for them.
Yeah, it seems like a huge loss on the field for both of those, and especially Oklahoma. You know, Texas has been doing a lot of losing to begin with for a while now. Oklahoma has not been losing much at all, and was returning a pretty and is returning a pretty damn loaded team this year. But now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it's going to get a lot harder. I think that what really probably annoyed me the most of it all was when the SEC Network released those pods, and they don't even have A&M and Texas playing each other every year. They don't even have them in the same pod.
And it was just, I believe, just the pods that Peter Burns made up for, like, his radio show. Like, it's. But I hate that it's like the one that came out that's been the one talked about. Like, we don't know what the pods are going to look like. We don't even know if they're going to do pods. Like, we don't know what they're going to do. They might just get rid of divisions altogether and just put all teams together and think of some rotating schedule and just the top two teams play in the conference championship. That way you're not limiting yourself. I don't know what they'll do. But, yeah, the pods seem if Texas and Texas A&M are going to be in the same conference, they probably need to be in the same grouping, whatever it is.
Yeah, they have to be, right? Like, then what's the point of it if you're not even going to make them play each other every year? To me, that's the only good thing about Texas coming, is them and A&M playing each other every year. You know, like, other than that, like, I hate it from a football side. I mean, I guess on a basketball side, it makes basketball better, but, like, I don't really want the basketball to be any better in the conference. Like, it's a pretty good mix right now to me.
Yep, got some easy games, got enough quality opponents that, you know, your RPI is boosted, but
you've got 4 or 5 top 25 teams every year, 6 to 7 NCAA tournament teams. Like, you can play a brutal non-conference schedule, get your wins, and then roll through conference, and you can get a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't want it to be any harder. I don't want the preseason number one team in Texas in the SEC. I don't want Porter Moser in Oklahoma in the SEC. Like, but whatever, money wins. I mean, that's pretty much all you have to say.
I will say that the 9-game conference schedule that they will most likely go to is a bonus. Let's get rid of the Texas Tech, the Tennessee Tech or the ETSU game, and just actually have another conference game. That'll be fun. Maybe I'm just, like, checked out to the point, like, where I'm not living and dying right now with Tennessee's wins and losses, like their record, just because it's going to be probably shitty anyways for the next 5 or 6 years, or, you know, insignificant, bouncing around between 4 and 8 wins. It doesn't seem to be that big of a difference. So maybe I just ain't looking through it in the right lens, but I don't know.
I don't know. It's like, it doesn't even bother me that much from a Tennessee perspective, because Tennessee sucks. And, like, you know, The horse has been dead. It doesn't need to be beaten any longer by, like, good teams like Oklahoma in conference play. Like, Tennessee football has sucked for a long time. It's just there's no, like Will said, that there's no more tradition. How it was when I was a kid, and, like, you know, if they go to that pods thing, like, I will miss not being able to play Kentucky every year. Like, that was a good game. Like, I liked that game a lot. I liked being able to play, you know, those teams in the East every year, besides Missouri. I don't care about Missouri. And it's just going to be just a totally different product. And, I mean, whatever. Money wins. That's really all that.
I am excited to see how they reshape the schedule, though. And I will say that for a long time, we've talked about how broken college football is. So I'm not going to be too mad whenever it gets shifted around, and I don't think we're anywhere near being done, and I am intrigued on how it's going to get, you know, shaken out. Does the SEC stop at 16 teams, in your opinion?
I say no. Absolutely not. What do you say?
I mean, like I said, they have it in their agreement with ESPN that they can add as many, quote, A-list teams as they want, and everyone gets the same cut. Like, the ESPN will just give them more money because they know they're going to have the by far the biggest brand of college football. So, I mean, I wouldn't see why they would stop. And if we do know that, like, the NCAA is becoming less and less powerful, they could get 20, 24 teams and just basically have their own league and, like, not even recognize the NCAA's championship. That would probably be more of a basketball thing. You know, if you got, like, you know, 24 teams or had just two mega conferences doing their own basketball tournament and generating the money and just putting all their teams in there, like, that would get watched on TV. The brands would be just as strong, if not more strong, than the NCAA tournament we're used to. That could be down the road. Just like theoretically, if you had 16 four-team conference or 4-16 conference leagues, what would stop them just from putting their own Power 5 NCAA tournament on and saying, fuck you, mid-majors.
Exactly.
Fuck you, NCAA. Yeah, like, we're going to do our own thing here.
I agree completely. I think it's the beginning of the end for the NCAA. I mean, the NCAA is already powerless.
Which we've rumored this for the last couple of years, and it's just finally coming to fruition, which is still shocking and jarring, but, like, we've thought this might be an idea for a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, the NCAA is already powerless. I think it's just really the beginning of the end for the NCAA, which, I mean, it's probably a good thing. Probably a good thing, because Will Wade is still coaching. If the NCAA was worth the shit, Will Wade wouldn't be the coach at LSU. So, you know, whatever.
You said you think it goes above 16 teams. Do you have any teams you'd like to put on prediction? Put on wax? Call your shot?
I mean, the term A-list team is nebulous, I guess. I mean, that can be twisted and, you know, changed around to...
I would say that would be like Florida State, Clemson in the ACC, maybe even Miami. I don't know if Miami would count. Notre Dame obviously been linked. Bruce Feldman said that the SEC is trying to get Notre Dame on board. USC, obviously Ohio State, Michigan. Who knows if Penn State would count? Who knows if, like, Wisconsin would count?
So, I think an A-list team could be like Virginia Tech, because I think they're going to be able to twist it to mean whatever they want to mean. And, like, there's not a team in Virginia right now, you know. I just don't know, like, you know, I don't know how much, like, how hard, because whatever Florida wants, like, that matters. So how hard is Florida going to fight Florida State?
Can Florida fight anymore, though? Like, after what happened to Texas A&M, I feel like we have set the precedent that, like, Florida can't bitch about that if Texas A&M didn't get to. Which, obviously, Texas is a bigger brand than Texas A&M. Would you say Florida? I mean, it's still bigger than Florida State's brand overall, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time, yeah. I mean, you know.
You say big time, it's not close?
I think so right now. Like, what – okay, so one way to look at this, I think, is, like, what market does Florida State get you that you don't already have?
But, I mean, I think we're past that, though, man. I think we're past the market.
We might be.
Because I don't know what other markets they'd be wanting to get into. Like, I know – the like ESPN's probably happy because they get into the state of Oklahoma, which means that now cable providers will carry the SEC network, which will get them an extra dollar per subscriber or whatever. Like, that probably makes them really happy. But I think it's more about getting into extra states than it is markets, which I know with Florida, we're just talking about that. But Austin, obviously a big area, a big state, but also just a big brand. They already kind of had that with Texas A&M a little bit, but I just think we're now looking at trying to get the most competent, relevant teams to just, you know, be the biggest show in college athletics.
So I don't know if Florida would be able to fight it. It certainly seems like the ability to fight has been lessened by Texas A&M, like, being just totally pushed out of the way. I think that Florida will be able to put up a better fight than A&M will. Because I think that what Florida wants matters a lot more than whatever the hell A&M wants. You know, I think Florida, Georgia, you know, I think those teams matter. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like, I mean, I don't really see how, if Clemson wanted in, I think they would get in pretty easily.
If I'm the SEC, I'm trying to get as many teams as possible because I want to be the biggest conference by far. I want to cripple and just end the Big 12. I want to end the Pac-12. If I am ESPN, I want the Big 12 and the Big 10 to hurt because they have the Fox deal. I want my contract to be worth much more than them. It's all about TV rights. We're going to put on the best product every week we can. And again, we'll make new traditions. We'll make new rivalries. Who cares? You'll watch the sport no matter what. People ain't going to not watch Oklahoma and Alabama because it's not a traditional rivalry. Like, people are still going to watch Texas and Tennessee more so than they would watch Texas versus Baylor, despite that being more of a rivalry. So, like, ESPN doesn't care, and I think they're pushing this, much like the theories, the conspiracies that, like, Nike forced Kevin Durant to Golden State. I do believe that, like, you have to look at the biggest employer or the biggest money, and that's ESPN right now. That's Disney. And I think they're going to keep trying to grab big brands because that's just where we're headed, and it's better to be first than trying to catch up because right now all these other conferences are scrambling and worried about being left out.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what will – like, Kansas is going to be able to go to the Big Ten or the Pac-12, I would think, just on basketball alone.
Or the ACC. I saw that Kansas might make some sense for the ACC.
But I wonder, like, what, you know, who's going to take a team like Iowa State or Kansas State? Like, who's going to take them? They're done, right? Like, nobody's going to take them.
Iowa State would have to hope they get... like, Iowa State would have to hope the Big Ten calls them, but, like, Iowa might be in there and be like, no, we're good. We're the only state. We're going to be the only school in state. That's the thing is, like, Oklahoma State's got to be pissed because they're not a big brand, and they got to be looking around like, hey, we're giving Mike Gundy $7 million a year, and our football program just become a lot less valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, who's going to take Kansas State? Why would you take Kansas State?
You wouldn't, which I think it's really funny that the AAC is, you know, is calling these schools like, hey, you want to come to us? Never mind, like, the Big 12 trying to poach them away. The AAC is like, hey, you guys come to us now. We're the bigger conference. We got the bigger cities. Memphis, Orlando, Houston, all bigger cities than what you got left in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think, like, if I was the Big 12, I would just start talking to other big conferences, like, and just start trying to have, like, a fusion and try to combine two conferences.
That was the rumor of the Pac-12, that they would try to just combine it.
Like, that's what I wouldn't start taking AAC teams. Like, I would not start doing that. If they even would come, I don't know. I'm sure some of them would. I would not do that. I would just try to, like, have it fused together with the Pac-12, I think, if I was the Big 12.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Got, what, four fantasy leagues up and running, almost filled up in a couple, or filled up in two of them. I believe we have two spots open. I'll make some more, but to lock your spot down, patreon.com/ReedsRanch. If you're already a patron, check your email if you're interested in the fantasy football leagues. Get access to the Discord. What else we got here? I was thinking of something else. I got a great new shirt coming out. People are going to be so happy with this new shirt. New $10 patron, Colton Smith.
Shout out to Brother Colton. We love you and appreciate you.
Okay, let's get to some questions. If I remember what I was going to say, I'll add it in, but let's get to some questions. Before we do, we owe a big, big happy birthday shout out to Princess Peyton, who turned 7 on Friday and is a huge fan. Happy birthday, Princess Peyton.
Happy birthday to Princess Peyton. I hope you have the best birthday ever. Hope you have the best birthday out of everyone else in this world having a birthday on the day that you have a birthday.
That's a good wish right there. 7's a fun age, too. 7 was a good birthday.
Some say it's the best birthday, Princess Peyton.
Who am I kidding, Princess Peyton? When I was turning 7, I missed my own birthday party at the skating rink because I had pneumonia. And everyone else got to go have their party without me. So as long as you are healthy and not sick on your birthday, Princess Peyton, you had a better 7th birthday than I did. So I hope you at least get that. Seth says the best birthday in the world of anybody having a birthday. I hope it's at least better than mine. I hope it's at least better than mine. All right, let's get to some questions. What do you got for us?
Set the bar high.
I mean, I was sick. I thought I was dying. I was laying in bed. Nobody sent gifts. Just barely got some cake when my mom got home. It was tough. It was tough.
Brother Logie, a.k.a. Logan, a.k.a. Logie Bears, For Seth and John, do either of y'all have any awful stories about flying? Went on my first flight this weekend that I'm old enough to remember and got delayed 2 hours after we boarded, then had to drive 3 hours back home and didn't get back to Knox until 4:30 a.m. Well, Brother Logie, that's really not that bad in terms of delays. I've sat in the airport all day, literally all day, delayed. Sat in the airport all night, delayed before. But really, the only times about flying that really just are horrible for me is like when the weather is really, really bad and you feel like you're on a roller coaster. I took a flight to like New Orleans with my family one time, and it felt like we were on a roller coaster, and it stuck with me my entire life. It was horrible. I just hate the rough. I hate it when they come over the intercom and be like, you're in the middle of the flight, like, buckle up, we have some rough turbulence coming.
I will say, Logie said he was trapped on the plane for 2 hours. So I do think that delay is worse than being stuck in the airport. With all
Yes, he did. I did not read the full thing. Yes, okay. So being stuck on the plane like that on the tarmac is brutal. I'm sorry.
Especially in the heat, as hot as it was. So, like, I would rather be stuck in the airport for 6 hours than on a plane for two. With that being said, I mean, I don't really have any terrible flight stories. I was really uncomfortable, like I said last week, on the plane going back and forth to this festival. But I guess after the Kansas City win in 2018, I was trying to fly out of Kansas City, and we got delayed like 4 hours for ICE. And by the time I got back to Knoxville, it was like 2:30 a.m. and there were no Ubers and I didn't have a ride. I got lucky that one guy was willing to drive 35 minutes to come pick me up from Uber. Shout out to that old man. And then when I was riding back, he was like, I can't really see too well at night as he's going around this turn really fast. I was like, oh my God, this is awful. But that would probably be my worst flight, other than one time my family for some reason flew out of the Chattanooga airport, which seems like a terrible idea. We had a layover in Atlanta and we got delayed for like 4 hours there. And I was just like, can we please just rent a car? I was on the way back. I was like, can we just rent a car and drive back to Chattanooga? It's an hour. We don't have to wait, you know, 4.5, 5 hours to get back. And they wouldn't do it. So that was pretty bad. But that's about it.
Also brutal to have to do the sprint through the terminal.
I've never had to do that too bad.
I've had to do a true sprint one time. And they had just shut the doors when I got to the gate. And I begged this woman, I begged her to let me on, and she would not. And this other guy who worked at the airport came on, was coming into the desk, and he was like, let him on. And that man, by the grace of God, let me on the plane. And then I got on that plane, and I had to sprint quite a ways, and we sat on the tarmac for an hour. Like, that woman, I don't know what she was doing not letting me on the plane, but like, but when my connection landed, boarding had ended for my next flight. And like, you feel like such a jerk, like trying to be the first one off the plane. And I remember just telling people, look, my connection, I got to go. And that like people were nice enough to let me through. So doing the sprint through the terminal was pretty bad.
That seems like the worst, but at least that guy let you on.
Yes, he let me on.
I bet you gave him the best thank you. I can imagine you arguing with that woman.
I was flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted, John. I was just like, there was no arrogance. It was pure, as much humility as I could possibly offer up to a human being.
Probably a lot of desperation.
Yeah, and just begging her. And she was just ice cold. Ice cold.
She had been waiting to have some power, and she was flexing it over you. It's not dissimilar from when you left the Florida 2016 game too early and had to run past that old-ass usher.
It's true. I was also late to a flight in Atlanta one time, going on vacation with my family. And as I was finishing up in security, they were calling my name over the intercom. So thankfully, the gate that we were flying out of at the Atlanta airport was the gate closest to security. That's the only reason why I was able to get on this plane. And as I'm finishing up through security, they're calling my name, saying, last call for Seth Hughes, last call for Seth Hughes. And the briefcase that I had my laptop in got flagged because it was my work briefcase, and I always kept an old pocket knife from my grandfather in this briefcase, and it got flagged. And so they had to bring me back in, and they were going through it. They were going through it and taking their sweet time, and I was like, look, it's a pocket knife. Just throw it away. They are calling my name. They are shutting the doors right now. And this lady looks at me. She says, they shut the doors all day, every day. and went back to combing through my briefcase. I was able to make it on barely.
It is true. That every door does get open and shut many times. Most days, I would say.
So that was bad too. But none of that just compares to bad turbulence for me. I hate it so much.
Big KBM guy asks how much you guys need to donate to keep my internet on during a full podcast. As always, up your pledge. As always, if something good happens in your life and you get a raise, a promotion, if you're feeling generous, always up your pledge. My internet has been really shitty. I probably do need to upgrade to the higher speed. So that's patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Let's see. What other questions we got? Taylor wants to know your World Series prediction. I believe before the year we said Yankees, Dodgers. It does not look like it's Yankees, Dodgers.
I'll say, I'll say Red Sox. I just don't trust the White Sox yet. Although the White Sox have just an amazing pitching staff.
I don't want to root for the White Sox, which is sad because of Tony La Russa. I don't want to root for him because of that. I know you probably are getting ready to defend your boy Tony La Russa. He's the worst, and I hope they lose because of him.
I love watching Brother Lance Lynn throw them fastballs. Lowest ERA in the American League right now, 1.91. But I don't trust the White Sox yet. That being said, they have some bad injuries and they should get some people back. So I'm going to go with the Red Sox, the American League, the National League. I am sticking with my pick of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sorry, but Kevin Gausman is not going to get the San Francisco Giants to the World Series.
I will go rematch. I think Dodgers race.
Okay.
I'll go Dodgers race, which, by the way, the race cooked us real good. Did you see that today?
Oh, with Ryan Spikes?
Yeah, got cucked real good by Ryan Spikes as they gave him top two round money and doubled what he was supposed to get. So now he's going to Tampa Bay and not coming to school. So,
yes, Brother Ryan Schumpert of VolQuest.com messaged me last week after he listened to the podcast. And he told me, he said, it's not official yet, but Ryan Spikes is going to go pro. So if I had known that before last week's podcast, I would have said that.
You could have at least posted in the Discord. You owe an obligation to our patrons. You could have done that. Have you posted? Ryan. Have you even posted in the Discord the last week and a half?
I haven't. I have been busy, John.
Too busy to at night to open your phone up and just say, hey, guys, I heard Ryan Spikes is going pro. Love you all. At everyone. Can't do that. Because God
be
knows
better.
You're not giving out happy birthdays anymore. God I'll knows be you haven't wished anybody a happy birthday in a long time.
Happy birthday to Brother Jonah, by the way.
Oh, today's Jonah's belated. Birthday? Happy birthday, Jonah.
It's belated. It was like last week.
Oh. I hope I told him happy birthday. Oh, God, I might not have.
But yeah, so.
Oh, no. I always see the happy birthdays and I try to hop in, and sometimes I wait and I'm like, I'm going to text them instead. And then sometimes I don't actually send a text. Oh, God, I hope I told Jonah happy birthday. If not, happy belated birthday. All right, next question.
Brother Brizzy. AKA Crypto Vol, what comes first, beating Florida or a new Reed's Ranch t-shirt?
Reed's Ranch t-shirt. Feel very confident in that one.
I was giving you another chance to plug it.
Feel very confident in that one. It's going to be great, too. It's going to be great.
I'm looking. Brother Parker, what are the hardest Olympic sports?
It's a good question. What are the hardest Olympic sports, Seth?
Well, I would say it would be extremely hard to win the 100-meter dash.
Well, that's not a hard sport, though. It's just run.
Yeah, I think, but my real answer is, like, the strength that gymnastics needs.
Yeah, I can't jump. I can't jump, really. It would be hard to medal in, like, running. You are right about that. And, like, Katie Ledecky swimming, you know, 1,500 meters or whatever it was, 1,500, yeah, however long that took, that seemed like a pretty tough one, too. Be pretty tired after that one.
Doesn't she? I think they said last night she owns all 15 of the top best times ever in that discipline. She has.
Gotta say though, she's kind of overrated at all the other swims.
Yeah, she obviously didn't sweep the 200, 400, 800 this time. But I mean, she's what? If she wins gold in the 800, she has more gold medals than any American woman in history.
Okay, whatever. I said she's overrated. You're not talking me off of it. She finished fifth last night in that one race.
Yeah, the longer the races. What did you expect her to win the 200 after she didn't win the 400? The longer the race goes, the better. She's going to win the 800.
And it was messed up that they made her swim both of those in the same night. So they're doing the semifinals for the – they shouldn't have – you shouldn't have to really have a semifinals for a 1,500 meter. That's too long. You don't have, you should have to race that twice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like that was crazy.
I will say, to me, the hardest is probably water polo, bro. That seems really, really tough.
Water polo seems miserable.
That seems like you that seems like the toughest to play. Like, anybody who's ever traded water, it's tough enough. But then when you add, like, jumping and throwing and stuff, that seems pretty miserable.
And I bet those dudes are so brutal to each other under the water where you can't see.
Oh, man, imagine the fear. How scary is it to feel like you're going to get drowned, though? I mean, I'm sure you had some older cousins or somebody that used to hold you underwater when you were younger. That was always terrifying whenever you're actually getting held underwater and your mouth comes open or it goes up your nose and you're like, oh, man, I really might die here right now. I really might die.
Yeah, horrible.
My parents are going to be so mad at this guy for holding me underwater.
Yeah. That water polo would be terrible.
That seems like the toughest, Parker. That's my answer.
There you go.
Next question.
Brother Hank, what is your favorite thing about each other?
We've already answered this like 5 times.
Okay, next question.
No offense to Hank. Like, I'm not trying to be hateful, but I feel like we've answered that like 5 times. Have we not? Am I making that up?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, no offense to Brother Hank, who I love.
Hank is a good man. I love Brother Hank very much, and he knows that I do.
Next question.
I've had great times playing Call of Duty with him. Brother AJ, a.k.a. most handsome Discord member in Missouri. John ranked the top 5 Nike shoes of all time.
Oh, my God, AJ.
And then he adds, in your opinion, on the end of the question, which it's obviously in John's opinion as you're asking him.
I don't. Go to your question.
How long could you go without LaCroix? I don't know. A long time, I imagine, but I don't want to, and that's what matters. I don't want to go after that LaCroix.
I mean,
it's like I don't
feel like what's the best Nike sneaker? I mean, it is hard for me when it comes to Nike. Just a nice, clean, all white pair of Air Force Ones. To me, that's. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of Jordans too. I don't know. I'm the wrong guy to ask there, AJ. I'm the wrong guy to ask about sneakers.
You know, AJ, I did buy a pair of Brooks running shoes about 2 weeks ago. They're fantastic.
They hurt my feet. I should have gotten measured out. I just took the guy's word for it. He asked how I would walk on the inside or outside of the foot. I walked for him. I was like, I feel like I'm walking on the outside. So he's like, here, buy these. And, you know, the first couple runs was good. And then after that, my feet have hurt after running. So I think I fucked up. $160 later.
On their website, they say to, like, buy shoes a half size too big. And I had never done that before. And I did it. I took their word. And it has helped tremendously to buy running shoes a half size too big. I feel like I'm running on clouds.
Well, good for you. Great shoes. Good for you, Seth. I'm happy for you.
Great, great, great shoes. Brother Troy, a.k.a. the Discord's best wingman, does Tony Vitello win a national title here? I have no idea. It's tough to say yes when, like, Dave Van Horn hasn't won one. But it's also hard to – it's not hard to see him winning one. I mean, he's beautiful. He can recruit. He can coach. He has a great coaching staff. So I don't know, Troy.
If I had to bet money on it, Troy, and I would never lie to you, I'd have to vote. I'd have to bet no, just because it's too hard to win.
I would vote no as well.
I hope
so. There's a reason why college baseball coaches say the goal is to get to Omaha. Like, there's a reason why, like, the 05 team, nobody brings up the fact they went 0-2 in Omaha. Like, it's just they made the College World Series. Like, getting to Omaha is the goal, and, like, obviously the goal is to win a national title, but everything in Omaha can be a total and complete crapshoot. Be a total and complete crapshoot. So, you know, it'd be like that sometimes.
OG Matt will ask what we think the easiest Olympic sport is at the Olympics that me and you could train for and maybe have a chance of competing at. I mean, I'd say the easiest has to, like, I think the sport that everyone thinks they could do the easiest would be, like, curling, right? Like, that if you train for that, you could get good at curling. I mean, I know it's the Winter Olympics, but still.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that is, like, the definite answer.
Maybe you could get really good at shooting something, Seth?
I don't know, man. I watched that redneck from Georgia win his third gold in skeet shooting. It was crazy. like the one of the guys that medaled was this guy from Kuwait. It was like he was like 57. It's like his seventh Olympic Games. These dudes did not miss. I don't think I could ever be that good of a shot. Like after watching that skeet, the air rifle thing is a little weird. I don't really like the air rifle, but the skeet shooting, it was absurd. I mean, they just did not miss. No matter, you know, it was fun to watch. Surprisingly, which I wouldn't have thought it would be, but it was pretty fun to watch. I think curling is the obvious answer.
I just meant like you don't have to have a lot of athleticism. You can just have hand-eye coordination, which maybe you, I guess, either you're born with it or not. I don't know if you can make your hand-eye coordination better or not, but let's see what else we got. Will Warren wants to send some good vibes to Bob Odenkirk. Do you know who Bob Odenkirk is, Seth?
Yeah, Better Call Saul. That's Saul Goodman.
Okay, my bad. Shit, my fault. Your favorite performances by him. I mean, he's going to be known as Saul Goodman. That's like a career that's a life-defining role.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Why are we sending good vibes to Bob Odenkirk?
Oh, he collapsed yesterday on the set and, like, is in the hospital.
Oh.
And, like, there haven't been really any details other than, like, Bryan Cranston, like, asking everybody to pray for him. Like, I don't know if, like, it was, like, a, hey, we don't really know what's going on, pray for him, or, like, hey, someone's giving us some bad news, like, it's not looking good. Because he said, like, status is unknown. So he collapsed on set yesterday. And he's, like, 58. He's a little bit older up there. So, I mean, like, that's dangerous. I mean, like I said, you asked for his favorite performances. I mean, he's awesome as Saul Goodman. Obviously, that's going to be like what he's remembered as. I did like him as Porno Gil in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I believe it was the first season where he's just like really crude and at dinner table talking about porn. And it's he's a porn star in that. So it's that one's pretty good. But yeah, not good for Bob. Hopefully, he's fine. All right, we got one more. Anybody we need to get to? All right, well,
my favorite Bob Odenkirk performance was Nebraska.
I haven't seen Nebraska.
I haven't either, but it's the only thing it was. You know, I saw it on his list in his filmography. Only thing I know him from is Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, which I was not a fan of. Breaking Bad, slow, boring, snooze fest. Give me some action.
I disagree. I think Better Call Saul is really good.
I've never watched Better Call Saul. I just didn't really like Breaking Bad that much.
You said give you some action to Breaking Bad? I feel like there's a lot of action in Breaking Bad, but either way.
I just thought it was boring. I'm a terrible TV critic. Terrible TV critic.
I'll ask this last question just because God knows it took BMV everything in his power to type out a paragraph with really, I don't see any typos either, so we'll reward BMV. We'll get two more. This is the second last one. Question is a bit winded, but here it is. Why aren't people more excited for JH going into the season? Question before we get there. Do you think BMV knows how to spell Heupel? Because he went shorthand with JH. Do you think he knows how to spell Heupel?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say yes.
He obviously has strength that none of the previous three coaches had, a very proven offensive track record. Had led a program that had success in the field, 10-win UCF season, and just seems like Heupel has the best chance of the four to succeed. So, Seth, why aren't more people excited for him?
Because every year as a head coach, he's gotten worse. And, I mean, I think it's not easy, but I think it's a lot easier to win that first year taking over someone like Larry Coker at Miami, like Josh Heupel at UCF. You know, I mean, even just look at somebody, you know, I mean, like Gene Chizik taking over for Tommy Tuberville had some nice pieces there, and then he went and got Cam, and, you know, it happened. You know, I mean, every year he's gotten worse. His offensive philosophy, I have a lot of questions about because it seems like his offensive philosophy boils down to we are going to throw the deep ball. And my questions are, one, okay, well, who is going to throw it? And two, who besides Jalin Hyatt is going to be able to outrun the other team and catch it? And if all we have is Jalin Hyatt to go deep, like I think Vilas can do some things in space, but to me, I see him more as a quick guy. I mean, he's shorter, he's 5'8". Like, I think you can do a lot with Vilas, but if we're going deep, if we're just throwing the deep ball, who are we going to throw it to besides Jalin? I mean, I'm all up for throwing to Big Sed Tillman, but I'm not sure how many games that's going to win you.
I mean, really, it just comes down to BMV. I think people aren't more excited because of the coaches right before him, the three coaches before him. Like, that plays into people. That beats them down as well. And also, like, I mean, Heupel, you said he had success on the field. He did, but he got worse. By the time he left, they were 6-4, right? I mean, it wasn't like he was building a winner. It was kind of like he had a winner and then turned them into an average football team. I would say I'm worried about his defensive style and his recruiting. Like, I mean, his recruiting isn't proven by any means, and I do think he'll have to recruit here. And I just don't know if his style is going to work against good teams. I don't feel like it did at UCF. I don't feel like it did against Missouri when he was there. So that's why I am not as sold on him. Soda asks, who is the most overrated team and player going into the NFL season? I'll start with you, Seth. Who is the most overrated team in the NFL going into the season?
I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow, the Rams. Okay. I'll stay in Los Angeles for mine. I'll say the Los Angeles Chargers.
Are they properly rated? Do people think they're going to be very good?
Yeah, people think they'll get in the playoffs, think that Justin Herbert's going to take them to the playoffs this year.
They won't be getting in the playoffs. I can tell you that right now. They fired Anthony Lynn. They're not going to be getting in the playoffs. They fired Anthony Lynn. You fired a man that had the most perfect teeth I have ever seen on a human being.
They did hire a Vol, though. They hired, what was his name? Staley? Was that his name? Like, Brandon Staley? Was that his name?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he, like, coach 1 year or something at UT?
He's a Vol.
The Chargers won't be making the playoffs. That's a good pick. I can go in with the Rams, basically, because I don't know who else to pick. The most overrated player, I have no idea. Kyler Murray.
Not a bad pick. I'm not going to say Kyler Murray's overrated because I feel like Kyler Murray's being held back by Cliff Kingsbury. But I'll go with, I believe the most overrated player is, close your ears, Seth. You don't want to hear this.
Josh Allen. That's fun.
Led the league last year and dropped interceptions. AKA, he should have thrown a lot more interceptions. The guys just dropped them. I think he's going to regress a little bit. I think that he is, you know, people put him as a top five quarterback. I'm not there with Josh Allen as a top five quarterback. I'm sorry. And, you know, I think COVID Cole, I'm worried how that dynamic's going to go in that locker room all season long too. I feel like Cole Beasley has made the mistake of going from scrappy underdog white guy to now being like the main story, or at least someone that people are going to pay attention to. And I wonder how he's going to handle it. So I'll say Josh Allen is the most overrated player going into the season. He's not top five just yet.
I'm going to go with Kyler Murray.
All right, Seth, good episode. We're running up near an hour, so time to get out of here. Any final words?
No, I love you, and I love all our patrons. And I choose joy.
All right, I love you. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, see you.
Home. Don't even make the money, had a Stockholm. And I got a sick wrist, make a wish, bitch. Ain't nobody dish rare, take a flick, bitch. Sonny like to pop his shit, like his papa did. When my pockets hit the limit, I think about rapping shit. Only know I'm driving you crazy, I don't be driving shit. Lately I've been serving like 80 a gram, you know it be lavish, yeah. Yeah, running from the love. Running from the love, I'm scared. Running from the love. Running from the love, I'm scared. Running from the love. Running from the love, I'm scared.
Only know I'm driving you crazy. I'm gonna be driving shit. Many of us are like idiots.
Yeah. Outside, really on the south side, yeah. Deep in, it's about to jump up, yeah. Flip this, can I get my funds up, yeah. Three deep every time the sun's up.
Earned so many scars, white thing had to cop it. G-Wagons, 911, baby mama options. Teach you how to make an M triple from a zero. Big houses, gold faces, rolls, get the chemo. Backstabbing, chat them out, pay homie nothing. Complaining when we all go through it, nigga, fuck it. Double M, I switched up the backseat of Muffin. Hell yeah, I got the chain, nigga, I was buzzing. Seeing sounds, I can taste the color from the trumpet. Nigga, want the cash, the house, but you was clubbing. Better with my tears and pain for my discussion. Moving at a pace of most face, turn to luggage. All them long nights ain't long for nothing. Imagine having dreams where you can touch it.
Only know I'm driving you crazy. Don't be driving shit. Many of us serving like idiots. Don't be driving
shit. Yeah, running from the love. Yeah, running from the love. I'm scared. Running from the love. Running from the love. Running from the love.
Running from the love. Only know I'm driving you crazy. Don't be driving shit. Many of us serving like idiots. Don't be driving shit.